Yes, it's that time of year again, October 31st, known as Halloween. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Halloween is one of the oldest events celebrated today and one of the most popular, second only to Christmas. So when you look at all of the popular holidays, Halloween is the second most popular holiday. Stores, schools, homes, and even some churches are gearing up for preparation for this event by decorating their windows, doors, and yards with witches, ghosts, goblins, skulls, skeletons, amen, ghouls, black cats, jack-o'-lanterns, to celebrate a night that is known for parties, tricks, treats, and festivities. Now, I believe that it's critical that all Christians should understand the origins, history, and myths associated with Halloween, and then be able to determine if God is in agreement with you celebrating it. Is Halloween a simple night of fun where kids go from door to door and get candy, and adults parade around in costumes at a masquerade party? Or is it an event that's linked to evil pagan rituals, devil worship, divination, and the occult? Well, let's find out what the Bible has to say about Christians and if they should celebrate Halloween. Are you ready? I want to talk to you first about the origins of Halloween. There are many different theories about Halloween and how it evolved. And today, my purpose is not to explain to you which theory is right or wrong, because that's irrelevant. What's irrelevant is getting the most common theory and then having you making a determination if God is in agreement with you celebrating it. Now, after research, the most common theory shows that the practice of Halloween originated from Ireland, where Celtic druids celebrated an annual festival where they would honor the dead. They would do this on October 31st. The festival was known as Samhain. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. It's spelled Samhain, but pronounced Sow, like cow, Samhain. It marked the end of the Celtic year. It included huge sacred bonfires where sacrifices were often made to satisfy Samhain, or the Lord of the Dead. Now, this is where we get the common practice of bonfires. You know, Halloween is associated for big bonfires, and that's where it came from. It came from this practice that they would do once a year to mark the end of the festival. They have a big bonfire, and they would sacrifice. Now, on that night, the Celts believed that the souls of the dead roamed the streets, and so they would give gifts and treats, they would leave gifts and treats at their doors to pacify evil spirits and ensure that the next year's crops would be plentiful. And this eventually became known as the common practice of trick-or-treating. And so where does trick-or-treating come from? It comes from this festival that the dreads started. And during the festival, they believed that during the night, souls of the dead would roam the streets, and they were evil spirits. And so what they would do, they would put gifts and treats on their door in hopes that they would pass them by and pacify these evil spirits. And then in American customs, we picked it up, and now it's known as trick-or-treating. All right? Everybody with me? Now, during the Middle Ages, I know this is kind of history, but I want to give you some origins. We're going to get into some word in a minute. During the Middle Ages, there arose an interest in magicians, sorcery, and witchcraft, where cults of witches would assemble for meetings known as Witches' Sabbath. Pastor, what's a Witches' Sabbath? A Witches' Sabbath is a ritual that would take place at night, and during this Sabbath, the witches would cast spells, do sorcery, communicate with the dead, and dedicate fruit to a fraternity goddess, which was believed that the first person that put their mouth and pulled out an apple in a bucket of water would marry the following year. They would be the first person to marry the following year. And so that became known as the common festival known as bobbing for apples. And so bobbing for apples has its roots in witchcraft. Now, as of today, tomorrow, October 31st, witches consider Halloween their Sabbath. Y'all hear me? And so while our children are out trick-or-treating, attending masquerade parties, there are witches gathered all across this country in remote places known as covens and engaging in the practice of witchcraft. Same night we're out roaming the streets and doing our parties and having a good time, there are witches assembled because Halloween is known as their witches' Sabbath. And so even though Halloween may have the appearance of fun and games, it is a night of witchcraft, occultism, and rituals with origins deeply rooted in darkness, dedicated to the works of Satan. Now, I hope y'all are praying with me, because when you start opening up stuff like this, demons start getting upset because they don't want you to know the truth. But the devil is the liar. He's given us power over that. Now that we know that the origins of Halloween are deeply rooted in evil, occultism, and witchcraft, let's see what the Bible says about participating in these type of activities. Are you ready? I'm going to talk about five things that the Bible says about the practice of Halloween. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 3. It's blessing anybody. Say, Pastor, you're doing good already. Praise the Lord. Y'all are blessed, because when we was coming up, we didn't have nobody to teach us like this. All the church told us is that was wrong, you was going to hell, and you couldn't do it, but they never said why. I'm here to teach you why. Praise the Lord. So that you can have understanding. The Bible says, with all thy getting, get understanding. All right. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and do what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So number one is you should not lean to your own understanding or be wise in your own eyes. In other words, if you're a Christian, you should not engage in the practice of Halloween based upon what you feel is right or based upon what you're told by others. How many of y'all are Christians in here? Praise the Lord. And so a lot of times what people will tell us is that, you know, it's just fun. You're hurting your kids. You're a big party pooper. Hello. Your friends and family will say, you know, you're controlled by that church. That young boy and that young girl got y'all just controlled, because it's terrible. You can't go out and take your kids trick or treating. And so what the Bible is saying, you shouldn't lean to your own understanding. You shouldn't be wise in your own eyes. So when you make a decision, and I'm just not talking about Halloween, but when you make a decision to engage in something that you really don't have any knowledge about, that's what you're doing. So I trust that today many of you are not leaning to your own understanding, and your eyes are being open. And you're hearing the conclusion of the whole matter. You're being presented with truth. You're being presented with facts. And so after that, you can make a decision. Because pastor's not a controller. I'm not driving by the saint's house tomorrow night to find out how many of y'all out trick-or-treating. Praise the Lord. I don't have time for that, y'all. That's one thing about me. I am not here to control you. I don't have time to be a private investigator, tap your phone, follow you to Walmart. I ain't got time for that. I got enough going on as it is. But you inevitably will have to make a decision. And inevitably, that's what Christianity is about. It's about you having integrity and you doing what the Bible says to do. Praise the Lord. It's just that simple. Tell your neighbor, it's just that simple. All right, let's go to Psalms 34:14. We're going to be turning to a lot of scriptures. So trust y'all have a Bible. If you don't, raise your hands. We'll get you one. Psalms 34:14. Y'all arguing over who had the Bible. I like that. That's good. Let me see it. No, let me see it. They're going to argue. Let them argue over the word. We're going to read it. Praise the Lord. Psalms 34:14. Depart not from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Number two is we are to depart from evil. The Bible says that we're to stay away from anything that represents evil. That's what depart means. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says that we're to abstain from all appearances of evil. The Bible says we're to abstain from the very appearance. So inevitably, if it even looks evil, we're not supposed to have nothing to do with it. Am I doing all right? I might make some of y'all mad, but that's okay. And so this can go farther than the practice of Halloween. Because I got some folks that are hypocritical. I'm not talking to any of y'all. I'm talking to folks that's listening to this by tape. But they don't practice Halloween. But at the same token, they got things in their possession that represent evil. And so it's the worst of two opinions. One side of you say, well, I ain't letting my kids trick or treat, but you got stuff in your house that represent evil. Can I go a little further? Yes, say, go a little further, Pastor. Some of the movies, video games, books, music, and people that we associate with are evil. Amen. If we are living for God and have these things in our lives and at our disposal, we are not pleasing God. Hello. Because he told us to stay away from it. And so inevitably, when you entertain evil, you're feeding your spirit with things that will eventually pull you away from God. Bible say no man can have two masters. He'll either love one or he'll hate the other. And so when you associate with evil, what's going to happen, Pastor? Eventually, if you're not strong enough, that evil's going to pull you right in. Because you don't have enough strength and you don't realize that you're dealing with demonic forces. Imps and wimps that have been assigned by Satan to get your mind out of the will of God. And so if you're serious about enhancing your relationship with God, growing spiritually as a Christian, then you will seek to get rid of things that can hinder your progress in the things of God. Hello. Many of you, say many of us, not all of us, say some of us, not all of us. Now tell your neighbor, he's talking about you, not me here. We've got games, we watch movies that hinder our spiritual growth because we're entertaining evil. Let me give you some examples. Games rated M for mature. Hello. Oh, I ain't getting no amens now. See how y'all do? Games rated R, such as Blood Omen, City of the Dead, Doom 3, The Resurrection of Evil. They're demonic in nature. And we're sitting up playing these games on our Xboxes. Hello. Got these games on our computer systems. Some of our children are, y'all are looking at me strange, but some of our children are playing these games every day. And it's associated with evil. You don't see the evil cartoon character that looks like a demon? That's disguised to get you pulled away from God. Movies such as Friday the 13th. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing now. Some of us got all five versions. All five of them. The Exorcist. Oh, I want to see that. You know, when the girl turned her head around, they just made a new movie, Exorcist 2. Bones. I knew y'all going to look at me strange when I said Bones. Y'all know Bones with Snoop Dogg when he came back? I haven't seen it, but I've seen the preview. Halloween. Things that we went from the video store, purchase at Walmart, through the mail, or watch via HBO, Cinemax. Some of these movies are evil in nature, and God wants us to stay away from it. And if we're a Christian, we ought to leave it alone. When you feed your spirit with this garbage and allow your children to be entertained with it, we're not doing what the Bible says, which is depart from evil. Am I doing all right? All right, I'm going to leave y'all alone because I want y'all to come back next week. All right. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm just trying to help you, church. I'm trying to help you enhance your relationship with God so you don't have no stuff in your life that will prevent you from having a pure relationship with him. That's all I'm about. Some people don't like that. Some folks would rather just have me just preach some good stuff to you and not tell you about stuff in your life that's hindering your relationship with God. I keep telling y'all my purpose is to have you blessed, not cursed. You're cursed when you do things that don't represent what the Bible says. And so you got to look at your life and examine it and start cleaning up your act. All right. Tell your neighbor, we got to clean up our act now. Got to get right with God. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18. Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, look at this, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will do what? Receive you. So the third point is that light and darkness do not mix. From the beginning of time, if we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, God have always made a clear distinction between light and darkness. He stepped out, he said, the world was void without form, and the scripture says that the world was dark. Hello, y'all read your Bible, right? Hello, Genesis chapter 1. And so in verse number 3, the first thing that God said, the very first thing God said was, let there be light. That's the first thing God said to us. So God makes a clear distinction between light and darkness, and light and darkness don't mix. And so in this text, the Bible clearly teaches us three basic things. Number one, we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness together? That's the second thing. And what concord has Christ with Baal? I keep telling you, this can go further than Halloween. Some of us get hooked up with people that are unbelievers. How are you going to enter into a covenant with somebody that doesn't believe like you believe? And then you have pastors that put people together, and then 6 months later, they're back in the office for marriage counseling. Hello? Because you've connected with somebody that doesn't believe like you do. And God says you can't fellowship like that. That's why I tell my daughters, you know, they and I don't mind saying it because I'm very transparent. They idolize these folk like 50 Cent and all of these big time singers and rappers. But who in the Lord? Oh, we got to talk after service now. But they idolize these big time singers. But when you listen to their music, it don't glorify God. They're not saying anything that promotes wholeness. They talking about hooking up with somebody that's married and ain't nothing wrong with that. Hello. They talking about things that do not represent the scriptures. And you want a man like that? You want to be with somebody like that? From the jump street, he's telling you what he's about. I'm not about commitment. Oh, y'all looking at me funny this morning. I'm not about relationship and integrity. I'm about lying, cheating, and stealing and getting all I can. Hello. And so we have to be careful what we're entertaining. Now, if you are celebrating or participating in hot Halloween activities, you're doing exactly what the Bible teaches us not to do. You're yoking or joining together with unbelievers. Why? Because of where the origins of Halloween come from. The origins didn't come from Christians. Hello. So when you make a decision, you're participating in something where you're saying, I'm having fellowship with an unbeliever. Hello. When you celebrate this type of activity, it shows that you're fellowshipping with the unrighteous. You're joining together with people of an unrighteous mindset. You don't find nothing spiritual in Halloween. Everybody, not everybody, but the majority of the people that participated, they come from an unrighteous mindset that is strictly against the word of God. When those witches are gathered together, they're not talking about Jesus. Hello? They're talking about the devil. They're talking about the worshiping of Satan. Hello? Am I doing all right? All right. And so inevitably, if you want to please God, you have to do what the Bible says in verse 17. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? Let's talk a little bit about it. See, what the devil will do is he'll find a way to have you slip in. He'll find a way to try to slip in. Now, when we made the stance many years ago against Halloween, and my children were much younger then, one thing we did was around this time, we sent letters to the school. Y'all looking at me funny. We wrote every teacher, and we said, if you, and they're sitting right here, they'll tell you whether we're being honest or not. But we wrote every teacher, and we said, if you are reading ghost stories, if you haven't canned, yeah, that was when Harry Potter came out. Y'all know about Harry Potter, witchcraft, sorcery, and all that good stuff. That's a whole nother message. But anyway, we told those teachers that if they're celebrating any of that stuff, send our children to the library. Because we have that right as a parent. Because if we're not careful, you know, a lot of those teachers that teach our children are not believers. They got your children in a circle and they reading to them about ghost stories and witches and brooms and witchcraft and all kind of stuff. But it's in the form of a cartoon. Do y'all hear me? And it looks fun. It looks scary. But the appearance of it is evil. And inevitably, it's getting down into your children's spirit. Now, when they bring us stuff and the things that deal with Halloween, they already know our stance. So you have to do that. You have to make a decision that light and darkness do not mix, and don't even think about trying to innocently slip something over on me, because we will not tolerate it. Number four, let's go to Exodus 22. Am I doing all right? Y'all getting something out of this teaching? How many of y'all got to take costumes back after service? No, don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. Take it back and go to McDonald's or do something else with it. Let's look at this. This is word here. Exodus 22, 18 through 21. Look at this. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Watch out. Y'all Bible read that. Exodus 22. 18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Look at 20. He that sacrifices unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be what? Utterly destroyed. Thou shalt not vex a stranger. Y'all know what a vex is, right? A vex is a curse. And so the Bible strictly, that's number four. God strictly prohibits the practice of witchcraft. Now, as I stated earlier, Halloween is deeply rooted and has its origins in witchcraft. I also stated that witches participate in a witch's Sabbath on Halloween night and also practice rituals that are linked to Satan. What they're doing on that night is the same thing. They're sacrificing things that belong, sacrificing things. They're putting curses on people and they're practicing witchcraft. And so most of us have seen very common displays of Halloween, broomsticks, cauldrons, spells, cats, all that. But the most common symbol is the what? The witch. That's the most common symbol of Halloween. You go to your child's school, those of you that are still in elementary school, see how many teachers have witches on their doors with the big green nose and the big wart. Halloween, the primary symbol is the witch. And God says in the Bible, he won't even suffer a witch to live. Am I doing all right? Let me give you some more. Can I give you some more? The black cat. Y'all know about the black cat, right? Considered to be a reincarnated being with the ability to divine the future. And so during the Middle Ages, they thought that witches can turn themselves into black cats. And so every time they saw a black cat, they would take that cat and throw it in a bonfire because they thought it was a witch. Now, those of you that got black cats at home, don't go home and kill the cat. Smokey is the same good pet that he or she has always been all these. Don't go home and kill Smokey because you think she's a witch. Smokey's not a witch, all right? But that's what they associated. I knew I was going to have fun with that one. That's what they associated with. The broomstick. Everybody know that the broomstick was what the witch carried, right, or rode on. This was for poor witches that went on foot and used it as an aid in crossing streams. And so what they would do is they would rub this ointment on their face on the way to their Sabbath. And the ointment would make them feel like they were flying. What they were really doing is they was high. And so putting the ointment on the face, and they would, you know, had a broomstick, they would think they're flying, but they really weren't. You see how the devil played tricks on you? Jack-o'-lantern. Everybody knows about the jack-o'-lantern, right? Jack-o'-lantern, that evolved from a man that was named Jack. And the legend has it, it's a legend that this man deceived the devil. And because of his deceit, God would not let him into heaven and the devil would not let him into hell. And so the devil said that you're going to have to carry this little turnip and put a light in it and roam the rest of the earth for your time. And so as the century changed, they found that it was easier to carve out a pumpkin, which became known as the actual jack-o'-lantern. And so when you see these jack-o'-lanterns and you look at that origin, that's what that means. It comes from this legend of this guy named Jack that was not even real, that supposedly it deceived the devil and deceived God. And that's totally against the Bible. Amen. Bible say when you die, you go into one or two places. Both of them start with H-E. You make the decision. You're either going to H-E-A-V-E-A-N or you're either going to H-E-double-L. You don't roam the earth because you've deceived the devil. Totally, totally screwy. Am I doing all right? I'm going to let y'all out of here real quick, real quick. Skeletons, skulls, and tombstones. Common Halloween decorations and attractions that symbolize the celebration of death. God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. We don't see us with tombstones and stuff like that decorated up here because we believe in a God that's alive, not a God that's dead. Bats and owls were associated with Halloween since ancient times and were thought by pagan worshipers that bats and owls were able to communicate with the dead. And so when you see bats and you see owls in the Halloween decorations, that's what that means. And then you finally have ghosts, goblins, and ghouls were thought to have special freedom to travel among the living during Halloween. And this is why they dressed up, and this is why they wore those masks, because they thought that the dead was roaming the streets. And so they disguised themselves during the trick-or-treating times so that they would blend in with these evil spirits. Now, we know, again, when you die, there's no roaming of your spirit on the earth. Again, you either go to be with God or you go to be with the devil. There's no in between. If you were raised Catholic and they told you about purgatory, they lied to you. There's no purgatory where you go to get yourself right so you can go to be before God. You either die right with God or you go to be with the devil. It's just that simple. Now, with what we've just learned concerning the common symbols that represent Halloween, I believe that we now have enough evidence to accurately determine what God says about the practice of Halloween. Let's go back to the text, Exodus 22 and 18. What's the first thing God says? He will not allow a witch to live. What's the second thing God said? We find that anyone that makes sacrifices unto any other god or seeks to put a vex or a curse on someone shall be utterly destroyed. So, beloved, all of these things are associated with Halloween. Witches, sacrifices, ghosts, gods, and curses. So should a Christian celebrate Halloween? I think not. Well, then, Pastor, what should we do? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to point number 5, and I'm going to close. James 4 and 7. Hebrews and James. That's right. That's right in the Old Testament, right? Or is that New Testament? New Testament. Thank y'all. All right. Hebrews 4 and James. I kind of like this one. 4 and 7. All right. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Number five, we are to resist the devil, not assist the devil. That's what we should do. Resist the devil, not assist the devil. In my conclusion, I believe that none of us here wants to assist the devil. Hopefully, none of y'all want to assist the devil in anything. How am I assisting the devil? When you make a decision to allow yourself or children to participate in activities that represent Halloween at any level, trick-or-treating, passing out candy, costume parties, stories, books, movies, games. When you do that, you're saying that Halloween is okay when it's not. Let me remind you that as a Christian, we're here to cancel the plans of Satan, not embrace the plans of Satan. Am I doing all right? Mark 10, Matthew 10, Jesus gave us power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Mark 16 and 17, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Mark 10, 19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so it's time for us to take a stand for righteousness. Because Jesus has given us power over the devil, not to assist the devil. Am I doing all right? So what can I do, Pastor? I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to let you go. Number one, make a decision. The Bible says in Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Make a decision that you will not allow your children to participate in any activities that represent Halloween or associated with it. Number two, talk to your children about your stance. Amen. Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 5, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he grows old, he will not what? He won't depart. And so when you teach your children on the stance, it helps them to understand why you're against it. Amen. Am I doing all right? See, I'm ineffective if I just give you a bunch of don'ts and don't give you no do's. I give you some practical things that you can go home and you can apply in your personal life. And finally, number three, set the example. Say, gotta set the example. Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In other words, you've got to show your children by the example that you set. Hello. If you're serious about your relationship with God, then your lifestyle should be reflective of that. Because y'all know how kids are, right? Amen. Kids will say, Mama, how can you tell me not to do Halloween, but you doing A, B, C, and D? Amen. See, y'all don't want to talk, see? So you've got to have a lifestyle that's representative of the scriptures. Your children may buck against you. They may say bad things, but you've got to take a stand against things that are unclean. And you got to set the example. And they may not like it, but they'll appreciate it. My daughters asked me, can we go to a Halloween party? Hello? No. Can we go to the Halloween dance? No. Because what they're doing there does not represent the things of God. And if I sell them yes, then guess what I'm being? A hypocrite. They can also say, well, Dad, how is it we can't go to Halloween, but we got Scary Movie 3, and we got Halloween 4, and we got all the Friday the 13th. See, then that spoils our witness. But when we don't have any of those things in our house and we're living what we preach, hello, it's called integrity. Then they can't say anything against it, and they'll respect your stance. They may not agree with it, but they'll respect it. And so we understand the truth about Halloween. And so in my conclusion, should a Christian celebrate Halloween? You've heard the truth, and you've been empowered to make a decision. I trust that you will do what's right. Amen? Amen? Come on, let's stand to our feet and just honor the Lord tonight. Let's give God some praise in here this evening. He's worthy of the glory.